Blog Talk Radio.
Wheresoever you go throughout the world, the black man is discarded, is ostracized, is relegated to the lowest in things, social, political, and economical. This therefore suggests a problem and one that must be solved. We in this section of the world are not entirely free from this unkind, unsympathetic, and uncharitable behavior of the groups or races around us. But since man has been placed on his own responsibility, whether he be black, white, or yellow, he must act on his own account. We will not unduly whine or complain, but reason among ourselves and see what can be done to remedy this state of affairs. Life is a conflict. You have to fight your way through it, whether you will it or not. Those of us who are able to fight most stubbornly live, accomplish most, and to them go the laurels, the palms, and triumph of our civilization and world. We unfortunately have not been trained nor educated to the truths of life, paradoxically so. May I say something to you to give you a true knowledge of yourself and life, so that the same glory and success attained by other men who understand themselves may be yours? Man in the full knowledge of himself is a superb and supreme creature of creation. When man becomes possessor of the knowledge of himself, he becomes master of his environment, the captain of his own ship, the director of his own destiny, the accomplisher of his own ends. Man should understand himself because man is full of knowledge, and this knowledge is a gift of nature. When Mother Nature created man, she deprived him of nothing. He was given the faculty of understanding all things around him. And this faculty for understanding has not been taken away from him. None of his senses have been taken away from him. So there is no excuse for the black man in lacking the knowledge that man is used to beautify the world and produce all that he needs for his happiness and civilization. Look the world over, and whatever you see in it that is pleasing to man, contributing to man's comfort, to his needs, and to his satisfaction, it is but the work of man. Man blessed with the knowledge of himself and the understanding of all things around him. If you are able to live with the knowledge of yourself and with the greater knowledge of nature, you must know what is good and what is not. You must know what is finite. You must know that which is material, physical, and otherwise is at your disposal to create or otherwise use. If we leave America and go over to the east to Japan, they will be telling their fellow citizens of Japan of the wonderful accomplishments of the Japanese people, proving that man is moving onward as time moves on. But you have hated yourselves as you have done in previous years. You have shown malice, prejudice, and hate to each other. And the result is that while other races have made progress, while India has made progress towards nationalism, while Ireland has made progress towards republicanism, while the whole world has made progress in man's accomplishments, you still stand fighting yourselves, dishonoring yourselves, showing no disposition toward that higher life so that you will be abundantly blessed. So reflect and think that you were created for some purpose other than exhibiting malice toward your neighbor or fellow men of your own race. What a pity it is that we cannot stand united without a written law. There is no written law compelling other races to stand together. They are brought together by the gentle touch of nature. The unwritten law of nature causes them to stand together on all occasions. So wheresoever you find them in the field, that one gentle touch of nature causes them to stand together, if need be, die together. But with the black man, you can preach to him from the pulpits. You lecture from the platforms, from the byways and the hedges. The spirit of cooperation, but he will not cooperate. You talk to him gently, you try talking harshly to him, he still will not cooperate. The result is that he falls prey to those who understand themselves and walk through the world making you their serfs and slaves. We must acquire the higher knowledge of life. Black men and black women, will you get the knowledge that the white man has that causes him to be leaders and masters in the world? They are not gods with a peculiar source for understanding the world around them. They have only given expression to the knowledge of their humanity and been able to use and conquer all to their satisfaction and glory. And that is why they are always greater than you in every community that you find them. Isn't it strange that wheresoever the white man is found, he takes precedence over you? Why is that so? Answer that for yourselves, black men and black women. Wheresoever you come in contact with the white man, you always have to go down in defeat before him. Whether it be in England, in France, or in America, you always have to go down to the white man, and yet he has two eyes, two feet, two hands, same passions, same senses and feelings as you have. Your feet are not put on opposite sides, now your hands turned around the other way. But it's because you fail to use your will, your knowledge, and your mental faculty to the point where you will enjoy life around you. It is against us as an African people. It's not because of color. It's because of our condition. If we must have justice, we must be strong. If we must be strong, we must come together. If we must come together, we can only do so through the system of organization. We have to fight for Africa. that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you. They gave leadership to our foreparents, and that leadership made them slaves. But we decided to find a leadership of our
Hello?
Hello?
What's up, bro?
Oh, man. Having some issues here, man. I was running my mouth and I muted myself. What's going on, brother?
Man, what's happening? I like that that excerpt of the greatest black man of the 21st or the 20th century thus far. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's a cold speech, bro. You know, as I was listening to him. To the Honorable Mark, this time, you know, we got everything everybody else got, but for some reason or another, we still, you know, we got two hands, two arms, you know, God gave us the faculty of intelligence, you know, but for some reason or another, we go out and we believe that, you know, that we are inferior. You know, who made us inferior, bro? The only person who, I mean, if you ask me that question, it's a rhetorical question. You know, we make our own self inferior. You know, I'm not finna sit here and say that the white man is not, you know, has not done some great things. I would be less than, you know, an honest man, you know, to say that he has not been great in some of the things he's done, I mean, he's conquered the world. Not only has he conquered the world, he has the world. He's conquered the world, and he has the people who he conquered, you know, acting and believing that, you know, that that they deserve to be conquered, you know, and that right there is something that we as a people, you know, we need to address that and look at that, you know, we need to learn some things from him. You know, you go to any part where the white man is at, you know, where the European is at, any part of the world, you know, he is, you know, he rules it, you know, I mean, he rules it. I like when Garvey said that, you know, it's no doctrine that says that he is, he should be ruling the world, you know, but we'll stand up and we'll say real quick, you know, well, you know, where you get that from, you know, and if the European, your slave master, your conqueror has not told you that, you know, then you, we automatically, we automatically discredit it and fight against it.
Right.
You know, black is beautiful, bro. You know, I have to say that. I like when Garvey said that we have to canonize our own strengths. You know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
We run around and we want everybody else is a hero to us. You know, from George Washington, who had 500 and some slaves, you know, the first one who signed the Fugitive Slave Act, you know, to Donald Trump, you know, if you look at today, you hear black people talk about how great Donald Trump was. I mean, Donald Trump wasn't great, you know. I mean, I just don't see it. I don't feel it, you know, at all, you know. To me, he looks like just a redneck white boy, you know, inbred white boy.
Right.
You know, I mean... The only good thing I can say about probably Donald Trump is that, you know, his people is from, like, he's Eastern European, right?
Yeah.
Russia, you know, so, you know, you know, Russia, you know, all them white folks. Russia, that war that they got over there, they got a war in Yugoslavia. Or where is that
Georgia?
War? That war is, huh?
Georgia?
Yeah, no, the Russians and the
Ukrainian.
That we didn't spend, you know, Ukrainian. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I hear Ukraine is a bit of white nationalism. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, most Ukrainians were, you know, they would be like Klansmen. You know, Russia, you know, I don't trust, believe me, I'm not a Russian lover. You know what I'm saying? But Russia, out of all the countries in Europe, you know, Russia is not a part of NATO, is it?
No,
part of NATO? No, it's not a part of NATO. And when I look at Russia versus NATO, I look at NATO, and NATO got like France and England and Holland and, you know what I'm saying, and the United States and all of them, you know, these countries colonized Africa.
Right.
So what I look like getting into that fight?
Right.
I figure the longer it lasts, the better it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
You know, people might not like me saying that, but the longer it lasts, the better it is. The better it is for my people.
They got into the war. They got into the war to go ahead and to control, and that control is what's going to benefit them. See, that's what it is. And you turn that over to black folks. Getting involved and supporting either one of the sides, how is that going to benefit you?
Right. Now we're talking about Israel and Palestine.
Right.
I mean, the Palestinians, you know. And the way I see them is that the Jews or the Arabs, the Palestinians, you know, the way from our interaction with them, we have never benefited from an interaction with a Jew or an Arab. Matter of fact, they're the same people, if you ask me. They look alike. I mean, you know, if you ask me.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, wrong is wrong and evil is evil. And, you know, both of them to me is wrong and evil. All of them. I mean, you said it. War is to benefit those who fight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if I go to war with somebody, it's to benefit me. But guess what? Our people, African people, have been in war for the last 400, 500, 600 years. We're at war. And until we change our strategy, you know, and realize and act like we're at war instead of going to the people we're at war with and saying, you know, all you got to do is just treat me right. You know, be nice to me. You know, be respectful. Don't be so rude. Stop it. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just sitting here. My mind runs a million miles a second sometimes, brother. So, you know.
Well, man, that's all right. It was all right, man. Because the go ahead and play nice to me thing, play nice with me and go ahead and keep begging for crumbs instead of going ahead and establish your own thing is really bothering me. Establish your own shit. I mean, we really need to control what we wear. We need to go ahead and control what we eat. And we're not doing that. And they're getting us on both the
fronts. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Tell me about it. You know what? We can hate these Europeans so much. We can hate them all we want to. But if they decided that they was not going to sell us a loaf of bread, we'll starve. We'll starve, brother. You know, a lot of us, we don't even know how to grow tomatoes or grow, you know, raise, you know, fish. We can't even raise catfish. And from what they told me, catfish eat anything.
Catfish will eat any guy. They'll eat each other.
I mean, but we can't. We so that means it don't take no science to actually raise catfish, right?
Really?
They live in, don't they live in? They live in fresh water, right?
Fresh water.
So you, if you fill your tub up and throw a couple of catfish, a little catfish in there, and then just, you know, just shit in the water, they'll grow.
Yeah, you might need to get some air in there, but they it's possible.
Okay, all right, you throw a little air in there. So, you know, I mean, in your tub, you know what I'm saying? There's some air in your bathroom, I hope.
Yeah.
But they'll grow.
They'll grow.
We can't even raise catfish.
Right.
We buy catfish from the white man.
And, well, see, I think a lot of those catfish farms where people bring stuff from, they're bringing stuff from, I guess it was Alabama and Mississippi, because they got a lot of catfish farms down there. And usually I see that they hire a lot of black drivers. I'm not sure if those are black companies.
Probably not. They raising the catfish in black communities. You know, you go to Mississippi. I remember going to Mississippi when I was younger because my father's from Mississippi. And all in the community that we used to go to down south, it was all chicken farms all around. And I think those are like catfish on land, right?
Yeah.
A chicken will eat anything. What they told me. They said a chicken will eat anything. Am I right about that? Will a chicken eat anything?
Yeah, they'll scratch through just about anything. And, you know, they'll pick up dead flesh every now and then, yeah.
Wow.
They harbor a lot of disease, man. You have to really watch them if you've got a chicken farm. But you can raise them really quick. And what they've been doing is, I can't remember for how long, but they've been injecting with hormones. So what would take a normal chicken to grow to like adult size in 2 years, the hormones are going in and pushing them big and fat and plump in 6 months.
Oh, so that's why the wings and churches so big, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Churches wings.
But see,
are hormones.
We're not tracing back where that food came from. You're not even asking questions. You're just going ahead looking at it like, damn, that motherfucker's big. Give me a double water and shit. You know, we need to check those things.
I mean, anything with flour on it got to be good, bro. And grease.
Okay, yeah, you got a good point.
You know. I mean, you throw some flour on it, bro. Drop it in some hot greases. I mean, hey, look.
It's got
to be good, right?
Yeah.
A little seasoning. And don't go to Abdullah and them and get some, what they call it now, lemon pepper.
Yeah.
You know, just drown it with that lemon pepper. Don't taste nothing like pepper to me. And it's kind of light. Look like salt.
It's mostly salt.
Yeah.
It's got like some dehydrated lemon pieces in there, but it's mostly salt. You sprinkle it around though, but I know some people that had it for the first time. They came to Chicago. Oh man, they love it.
Oh yeah, I know. Like mild sauce, right?
Right. Right, man.
Like mild sauce.
Yeah.
I remember when I was like, mild sauce, give me some of that barbecue sauce. Same thing.
Right.
You know.
A game with your mind. So I was looking at the President General, some of his videos, and what's his views on going ahead and starting farms and getting more involved with that?
Well, you know, the UNIA, the president general has been, I mean, it's mandated for each division to actually start a grocery store and a farm. We got Liberty Farm. We got in Liberia right now. We got Liberty Farm in Liberia where, you know, where we're growing things that is needed in the continent. And, you know, we're looking at and the Rock in New York, where we distribute, you know, we distribute food and things that we use that a lot of restaurants and things buy. You know, you can actually get it from the Rock. You know, but we need a Liberty Farm here. You know, in each city where Africans are, we should be growing our own food. That's a mandate that has come down from the President General. He's real big on that. You know, we need to be growing some things. We need to be raising some things. And a lot of times we got these vacant lots before the Mexicans and the migrants, you know, take them over. We should be in these vacant lots, you know, getting some good soil, some good dirt, and growing some things. We should be growing our own bell peppers, our own tomatoes. You know, we should be growing things that we use that every black refrigerator should have in it.
I agree. So that's what, and I think I've been trying to push that message even more lately. But I'm on the verge of going, getting some things done here. So yeah, I need to tell you. When I call you later, I'll tell you. I got something to tell you. But yeah, you know, the grocery store thing here is one of those things that is just really, really, really outrageous, especially in the black neighborhoods. You know, you don't have any black-owned grocery stores. It's a few. Say it again?
In the city of Chicago?
Yeah, I think it's a couple. It's a brother around the corner from where I live. He got like a little, it's a little grocery store, you know. So he's got, you know, flour, eggs, butter. It's a little place.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we should have those in our city. You know, we should actually have, you know, I don't know where a black owned grocery store like a Jewel's or Walmart is. You know, I mean, I just don't know. I remember we used to have black owned grocery stores, but I haven't been in one in a long time. I haven't actually been in too many grocery stores that are, I mean, we still have some where it's black people at least, you know, working there, you know, black employees, you know, grocery stores, you know, that goes back to the hand-to-hand project that we tried a few years ago. You should not be spending your money in any business where your black dollars are not going into another black hand. None. I mean, we go into these stores in our community where, you know, where we have foreigners and aliens in it, you know, and you know, you got the man who's standing around looking at people trying to, you know, the loss prevention guy or the guy who sweeps up and pick up the trash outside, you know, but they won't hire him to work the cash register. We shouldn't be spending money in them stores.
Shouldn't be spending money.
You know, I mean, you know, it's, you know, and then the way in which things are going now today, I mean, it's crazy.
Also, hold on, bro, let me show you something. We also got to look at it like this, you know, so if we don't go and shop in them stores, so what's the alternative?
Right. That's right. If we don't build one, you know, that's why, you know, I never say, you know, shut them down anymore unless we are prepared to actually replace something that we shut down. You know, we can go out and we can demonstrate and we can shut down a store. But if we are not actually organized well enough to go in and, you know, buy that empty, you know, or at least rent that empty spot next door and open up another business, you know, I mean, oh boy, times hard for a black man out here, bro. That's hard for that.
Yeah, I see that, man. And you know, you see a lot more stuff as you get older, and it's like, oh my goodness. Some things, I was just reviewing some old stuff, man, and I was looking at some of the things I was saying, and some things I was a little bit off, and everybody need to always go back and review what they were saying yesterday and see how it's going to go and help you today and how it can affect you tomorrow. I don't think we're looking at that,
yep.
man. We're not looking at that.
Oh,
we're not looking at that as people, man. We're not reviewing life that way.
But we real critical on others, you know what I'm saying? Especially if they African. We real critical, you know. We real critical on Martin Luther King, and we real critical on some people, some of our great ancestors. Now, we real critical, you know. He was talking about, you know, nonviolent movement and this and that, you know. But you know, we just got to talking about that. We can't even feed ourselves, so we want to kick a war off, and we talk revolution. But we're not serious about revolution. I mean, if we were serious about revolution, then we would actually be growing something. We'd be growing something so that we can feed an army. You know, I mean, we can't even feed ourselves. We haven't taken the time out to put the work in to, you know, to learn how to make ammunition. We haven't. You know, in some of our communities, we still got gangways and things like that. But you know what? I realized that most of the gangways are blocked up. You got gates on in front of them.
Right.
So they not really, you know, they're not really functional at all. You know, so when it comes down to it, you know, a lot of the things that we talked about 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, it takes more to it than just talking and feeling good about it, you know.
Right.
You know, some of us read the book, The Spook That Sat by the Door, or watched the movie, and we don't realize the one of the main lessons that I got from that book and I got from that movie was that they didn't have a medic. They didn't have an actual nurse or a doctor.
Right.
I was listening to the radio this morning when I left out, and they was talking about how they refusing to provide oil or let oil through to the hospitals in Israel, right? Because, you know, they say Hamas runs them. And I'm like, you know, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want us to feel sorry because they went in and they chopped off the heads of some white babies, some Jewish babies, you know, which is, you know, that's savage. But it's okay for you to, you know, let babies and drop bombs on babies, and they can't even treat their babies. You know, that's just crazy. You know, and on the south side of Chicago, when you get shot over here, you know what hospital they take you to, right? They take you to a hospital called the University of Chicago.
Okay. Yeah.
So we call them, you know what I'm saying? Because we call the ambulances and things like that. I mean, and I understand it. I get it. Because we can't call the Black Cross Nursing, which we should be calling, you know. We should be able, you know, a lot of us, we don't even know how to do emergency care if someone gets shot.
First aid.
You know.
CPR.
I mean, can we save a life? Right. CPR, first aid. Can you actually save a life?
Right.
Or before you're going to pull out your cell phone and go live. That's crazy, man. You know, it's like we pull out our cell phones before we, you know, we go and get a first aid kit. And we all stand around and we all, you know, cry, talk about, man, that's just bad. This is, it don't make no sense. It make a whole lot of sense. It makes a whole lot of sense. If we, you know, we being controlled by enemies. I mean, our natural enemies. I mean, since the beginning of time that we have been involved with these people. You know what I'm saying? They are natural enemies. I don't think it's never been a time where it probably has been a time. But I guarantee you this, if it has been a time when we got along, it was when we were in control.
So in control, but not on these shores, though.
Yeah, not on these shores. No. I mean, the Africans who was, you know, when the Europeans first got here, the Africans who was here, you know, they were nice to them. They fed them so that they wouldn't starve. They fed them. They showed them how to survive, you know. Then they just came back and, you know, and told us thank you. By taking everything that we gave them and that you know, to put us in power, they told us that we were savages. And, you know, the unfortunate part is that, you know, we helped them.
Very unfortunate, very sad, and continuing to help them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Willingly.
Oh, yeah. If we were to change overnight, you know, if I had one thing to say that we would, you know, that we, you know, that we would do differently, right? And what I would say is that our people, African people, we need to start loving our own before anybody else's. We're being traitors to our own people, to our own kind.
But that's something that's embedded in a lot of us, and I think. It's hard to get control of that and go ahead and tell them, hell no, you don't be hugging them motherfuckers. They don't give a shit about you.
They don't give it's a hard, goddamn about you.
Yeah.
We love people who don't treat us right, bro.
Exactly.
It's like a domestic violence relationship. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, if your sister in a relationship with a man that, you know, that comes in, you know, and you know, hit her in the eye every now and then and all of that, you know, he pay the bills for, you know, make sure that the apartment is there. But, you know, he just hit her in the eye every now and then, you know, because, you know, she speak her mind and say something he don't like. And she just hit her in the eye. Sometimes she ain't got to say nothing. He just hit her in the eye. The first thing you would tell her is that she needs to leave him, right? Leave him, girl. Why you still with that man? But we in that relationship. We in a straight domestic violence relationship, bro. The new term is intimate partner violence. We in intimate partner violence relationship.
A clinical term.
Mm. Yeah, that's a clinical term. Intimate partner violence. Meaning that the person that you're intimate with is the person that you're violent against. The person that, you know, that really, really from their behavior does not, you know, express any type of real intimacy.
What do you say to those people who go ahead and say, well, it's more of our people doing our own people?
I mean, to me, it's another clinical term is self-hate.
Self-hate?
I mean, because, you know, so we say that a lot of times because what we see on the news, right, what we see on the TV, their propaganda machines, we say that, right? But I was looking at, I was, you know, on my TV, and I realized they got whole shows show the savagery of Europeans, you know, somebody in my yard or something, you know what I'm saying? Where they killing each other and they burying them in their own backyard, you know? I mean, they got whole shows on that. So, you know, if you want to, you know, ask me, you know, I think they more savage than we have ever been. The thing about it is that, you know, I like the way in which they support each other. So a young boy can go in the school and he can shoot up all the kids in that school. And his parents, you know, would jump up and say, you know, hey, look, we never seen it coming. Well, you know, little Johnny was bad all the time, you know. Little Johnny, you know, that's why you ain't got no pets, because little Johnny killed all of them. You know that. But all of a sudden, he shoot up the school, you know, and they come up and they say, well, little Johnny had a mental health problem. Well, I think it's a mental health problem when, you know, when Nook or Lil Rob, you know what I'm saying, go out and, you know, and he shoot up his friend because he don't like the way his friend, you know, he feel his friend wasn't too friendly when he laughed at a joke or something in the classroom, you know, or he got on social media and talked crazy, you know, that Lil Rob saying him, and, you know, and he shot him. To me, that's a mental health problem, you know, but we don't do that. We don't get out and we don't give our own people the benefit of the doubt. We don't give our own people the benefit of the doubt. We let others tell us about our own children, our own brothers, our own husbands, our own wives. I mean, you know, you know, what make a stranger an expert on you? Why can't a stranger come up and say, well, you know, Lil Johnny was, you know, I mean, you know, he was. I don't know, bro. I don't know.
No, you. Because I was also looking at that guy that today, I think it was yesterday, shot up about, you know, 20-some people.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they saying that he was some. They trying to figure out whether or not that was a precipitating factor. You know, I mean, should they had actually known that, you know, and he was actually in the military talking about shooting up the base. But they didn't have a problem with letting him go out and buy these weapons that, you know, that kill people. You know, I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I know one thing.
You got to deal with that also, that argument. Even they tell you that guns don't kill people. People kill people.
All right, with guns, though, right?
Yeah.
Guns don't get up by themselves and kill people, but I don't know too many people who just killing people with sticks. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'd rather for you to, you know, because you got to get close to me at least with a stick.
Right.
You know, you got to get close. You know, with a stick. Yeah, I've heard that argument too.
So, what would be a remedy for you to go ahead and get some of our people to go ahead and get them to get involved and basically stop criticizing each other?
Well, the first thing that we have to do is realize that, you know, we got this bad, bro. We run around and we actually feel that you know, I'm the only good black man that's out here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, black people ain't good. We realize, we say, you know, I'm the only good black man. When you know, it's like, if you good or you find something good about you, then, you know, what make you think that other black people ain't like you? So, I mean, if I can go out and I can be respectful and nice to people, you know, I'm not out here trying to, like, you know, just take advantage of people and treat people wrong or do savagery on folks, you know. You know, I believe that our people are like that. You know, most black people that I know, I mean, that's in my circle that I know, are good people, man. They're not, you know, messed up people that run around and just do horrible things to people. You know, for the most part, I mean, they might do some bad stuff. You know, they might have done some things that are not, you know, are not good, but for the most part, that's not who they are. You know, they I just spoke to a group of about 100 people, right, yesterday. You know, and it was on the whole thing of, you know, this fentanyl. Everybody's talking about fentanyl and things like this that's going out, you know. And when it was just affecting us as a people, then we called them dope fiends. We call, you know, dope fiends this and dope fiends that. But, you know, I'm looking at some of the people in this crowd, and I'm like, you know, they were not the stereotypical that we would people that we would have called dope fiends. But, you know, I'm looking at them, and I'm saying to myself, you know, what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with the picture where somebody take and live in the country of America that we want to, you know, whatever our issue is, we want an immediate fix. We want an immediate fix. But for years, you know, I've seen people struggling with, you know, with addiction. And we wanted immediate fixes for the addict, you know. And the immediate fix was the drugs that they were using. You know, when you don't have hope, when you don't feel good about who you are, you know, when your situation is, you know, it's not how you want it, you know, you want to feel good, you know, even if it ain't nothing but for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But unfortunately, you know, the cure is, the cure turns into the problem. So, I mean, so to answer your question was, what can we do? The first thing I believe to treat this mental illness that we as a people have, we have to do is that we have to teach our people to love themselves. You know, it's if a person goes to see a psychiatrist or a mental health professional, you know, the person really wants that mental health professional to solve their issues, their problems real quick. You know, so if you hear voices, you know, you want your mental health professional to actually, you know, fix the voices, you know, stop the voices, you know, especially the voices that I don't like. If I'm gonna hear voices, at least let me hear voices that, you know, sound good. It's telling me to do stuff that's good, right? Not telling me to jump off a roof or not telling me to go and kill up, you know, shoot up everybody at the bar or, you know, at the bowling alley. You know what I'm saying? You don't want those type of voices. So, but the mental health professional, you know, tells you, you know, hey, look, when you hear these voices, you got to replace those voices, or you got to kill those voices. You know, no, I ain't with that, or that's not, you know, that's not right. You know what I'm saying? So the mental health professional puts it on you, on the person who comes to them for help. It puts it on them to actually help, you know, to work on their problem, because you know, if somebody comes to me and they tell me, you know, look, they like be like Pookie on New Jack City.
Oh.
Remember when Pookie on New Jack City, it be calling me, man, it be calling me, you know what I'm saying? So you want to tell Pookie, you know, that, you know, it's not really calling you, you know what I'm saying? And if it is calling you, don't listen to it. You know, but you want Pookie to be able to do that, you know what I'm saying? Because if Pookie don't do it, it won't work anyway. So the mental health professional, one of the biggest things and biggest problems that he has is that he has to get you to understand that we're not going to fix this issue or this problem overnight. So when it comes down to teaching black people to love black people, I mean, that it won't happen overnight. Because some of these things that we believe and that we, you know, don't trust nobody, man. People, you know, people ain't good for you, you know, niggas ain't shit or whatever, right? These things, man, you know, they didn't just start overnight. It's probably something that has been ingrained in you since the first time you've been thinking. I mean, you know, you was taught to think that way. You was taught to think that black people ain't shit.
And a lot of times people just casually say that, oh, niggas ain't shit.
Niggas ain't shit. Damn.
Keep on pushing it around.
Always doing something. You know what I'm saying? And when we do that, what we're doing is we are reinforcing that thought. That whole thought process. Those core beliefs. You know, if you were told from the time in which you were, you know, you was a child that, you know, you stupid, you ain't shit. Your daddy wasn't shit, you just like your daddy. Those core beliefs, I mean, those are ingrained. They become automatic thoughts, man.
That's ugly.
So when I see a young brother and I tell him, man, what's up, little King? You know, he looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, I got to be up to something. For one thing, don't trust niggas. Niggas ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? Don't trust me. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm telling him something that goes against all of his core beliefs. His core beliefs and his automatic thoughts, you know, I mean, he reinforces it. And all I did was compliment him. And I'm trying to speak positivity into his life.
It's something to think about. It's rough, you know, and you... Yeah, it's hard to go ahead and just say, I mean you no harm. I'm trying to bring something to education.
Right, I mean you no harm by calling you King, right? You know,
right.
Or brother. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I first started calling everybody I met that looked like me my brother. What's up, brother? You know what I'm saying? How you doing, brother? Thank you, brother. You know what I'm saying? All those things. You know how many times when I first started doing that, I mean, this is over years ago, you know, how many black people would tell me I ain't your brother?
Oh, I can imagine. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Stop you in your tracks. And, you know, it happened to me. You know, it happened to a lot of us. But it's those first few times, you know, it slowed me down. But then after a minute, you get kind of mad. So you got a response for that shit, man.
Right. Then you got to respond to it. You got to make this brother understand that, you know, I am your brother. You know, we are brothers. You know what I'm saying? And depending on whether or not that person really wants to, you know, just go at you on it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that can be all day. It could be physical. It can end physical.
Yeah. He's still my brother, but hey.
I mean, right. All right. You still my brother, right. And I learned to say that, you know, well, one day you might realize it, you know what I'm saying? I know who you are, you know. Those be little things I might say as I'm walking away, you know, I'm not finna argue with you about it.
Right.
But we the first thing we have to do is, you know, we have to teach each other, you know, to love who they are. Because once I love who I am, then I can't see you, Rob, and actually, you know, want to see anything negative or bad happen to you. I don't. I just can't, man. You know, if someone come up to me, came to me and say, you know, Rob, man, you know, Rob, he a sea sniffer. You know, every seat that he sees, he has an uncontrollable desire to stop and sniff it. And I say, you know what? That ain't the Rob I know.
Thank you. Whew, shit.
I ain't never seen Rob sniff a seat, right? You know, if people say that, and if enough people say it, then, you know, well, maybe Rob is sniffing seats.
Yeah. People start.
And then I walk in the room, and I see you in there, and it's a bunch of empty seats, and I think that, you know what, Rob been in here sniffing all these empty seats. We believe some of the most irrational things out, bro.
Oh, yeah. Like Donald Trump's their savior. What the hell? Blacks for Donald Trump. Niggas for Donald Trump. Did you see that shirt?
No, I ain't see that. He niggas for Donald Trump, huh? That's you know, but niggas jumped up real tough for Joe Biden, too, though. And to me, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, I could see them somewhere drinking together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drinking together with that cop, you know, with that cop who serves. What was the historian? The cop came to his house and disrespected him and all that. And the last president before Donald Trump, Barack Obama, you know, decided to have a beer summit with this cop.
Yeah. He got a series, too.
Cornel West.
Hey. Louis Gates.
Right. Yeah, Louis Gates. Yeah.
Yeah, the cops put the handcuffs on him in his own house that he was trespassing his own home and being disorderly.
Right. Cornel West was the one running for president, right? He running for president.
Yeah.
And he called everybody brother.
Yeah.
He could be sitting there with a man with a sheet on his head, and he called him, well, my brother, Grand Wizard. Stop it, man. You getting too freely with these, you know what I'm saying? You know, brother. It's like, now you calling dude who you know want to hang you, you know,
right.
And his ideology
is
to hang you. You calling him brother. I mean, that's because we want to kill them with kindness, you know. We want to shame them into being right. I just don't think it worked.
Worked all this time, man.
Not all this time. That's right. I just don't think it worked, bro. I can't shame you into doing something right, into being right, to being moral. I can't shame you into that. So one brother told me the other day, I say, well, you know, brother, I'm a black nationalist. And he wanted to argue with me that black nationalism is just, is no different from white nationalism.
What did he mean by that?
Because he heard about white nationalists. White nationalists, you know, in which I don't have a problem with. You know, I don't have a problem when it's like white people loving white people. I don't have a problem with that. They should. when I say I'm a black nationalism, it's because I'm speaking on black love for black people. You know what I'm saying? I'm not speaking on we need to kill all white folks. I mean, not me personally. You know, if I see a child is died of being, you know, mistreated, then, you know, I feel bad for that child, period. I feel bad for that child. It's like, I'm not mad at the migrants for being here. I'm not mad at the migrants. I'm mad that our society has found ways to spend $9,000 for a migrant's apartment, and we had so many black people that was homeless at one point in time, still homeless. You know, I'm mad at a society that we have paid into, have come up with ways to make sure that they eat, you know, and get clothes, nice clothes out. But there's so many of us that's been here that our people have spent money, you know, put donated and contributed to this society. And, you know, you're not taking care of your own, you know. I'm mad at any man who takes care of somebody else's children. Not saying that the children shouldn't be taken care of, but I think you should take care of your own children before you take care of somebody else's.
Yeah, brother.
No, I'm not. Huh?
I was asking, you still there, man? I'm just picturing what you're saying.
You know, it's like I walked into the police station the other day because three Mexican teenagers was riding down my street, seeing my son's car out. And jumped out and stole his car. I mean, they stole his car real quick. The thing about it is that my son never keep gas in his car. So they was driving his car, and they had to stop at the gas station. The police caught him. So we go to the police station, and I go in the police station, and, I mean, they got mattresses all throughout this police station. Not just tents in front of the police station, but inside the police station. You stepping over people, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow. We never felt like we can go to a police station and be safe, to seek shelter. We never felt that way.
Yeah. Man,
I'm over 50-something years old. I mean, you know, it's like, wow, you know. So this is how it should be done? My thing is that if black people, you know, going back to your question, the question that you asked, if we treat our own people like we treat everybody else, if we see our own people like we see everybody else, you know, we can go in these stores in our community, these outposts in our communities, we can go in there and we real cool with Abdullah and them.
Right.
We real cool with them, you know. But we got an issue with the guy who you know, who's selling, you know, loose cigarettes down on the corner. We got an issue with him. But
yeah.
But we real nice to Abdullah. We speak to him. We assalamu alaikum. You know, we do all types of stuff. Crazy, man. It just goes down to my term of the pit bull complex. And I say our people have a pit bull complex. Everybody, you know, respects a pit. If a pit running in your neighborhood without a lease on and nobody's there, you are going on the other side of the street. You're going to respect the pit, right? But that pit, that same pit that everybody else is so afraid of, that same pit will protect the no good master all the time. You ever been in one of those conversations with somebody and you talking about the evils of the world, you know, they just put their knee on the neck of a black man, you know, those white cops and, you know, and you talking about, you know, how wrong it is, and the person that you're talking to get real quiet when a white person walk around, come around. Is that protection? We protect everybody else but our own.
Constantly.
Yeah, constantly, bro.
And coming up with new ways, like you listen to what's her name, Candace Owens.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard her.
Oh my goodness, man.
Oh yeah. You know, I listen to, we got a black station here in Chicago, VON sometimes, and it's a sister that bees on there, is on there, and she calls herself, she's a black Republican or whatever, but some of the things that come out of her mouth, man, it's like, wow, really? Really, are you actually saying these things, you know? Because her whole thing is that it's not necessarily about being black, it's about being Republican. I mean, we want to be everything but African, bro.
Right. I think I heard that stuff. Some other people was criticizing.
Yeah. Some of the things she say is right on. But some of the things I'm like, you know, that's really not, you know, I don't think it's beneficial. You know, and I'm not Democratic. You know, I'm surely not Republican. You know, I'm cliquish like that. I'm cliquish like that. When it comes down to it, it's like, you know, are we on the same team or not? And because we all African and we got that pigmentation, you know what I'm saying, or that melanin, you know, I mean, you automatically on my team. You're on my team.
Some of us don't think they're on that team, man.
Yeah, I know, and that's the problem. That's the issue. Because my thing is that, you know, it's what's best for my team. And I'm the African team. You know, we had, for years and years, we had people who loved the Cubs, and the Cubs hadn't won a World Series, been in the World Series in 100 years. But a Cubs fan would never be rooting for St. Louis. They wouldn't. They just wouldn't. If St. Louis was in the World Series and a Cubs fan saw St. Louis in the World Series, they was all automatically gonna root for the team that was against St. Louis, because they was a Cubs fan. Well, I'm African, bro.
I was also thinking that should be another political party. And you should make it the All African Party.
Ooh wee.
Huh?
Yeah, yes, sir. I say ooh wee, yes, sir.
That's if you start to bring them to the table.
I mean, but we have to believe that we have to start believing something that we don't believe. And we don't believe that, you know, if it's all black, it's good. We don't believe black is good.
Right.
We don't. I mean, we have to start believing something we don't necessarily believe, bro. And I can see so many reasons why we should do that. Because if we were to actually become our own power block, then everybody would have to come to us.
Right. Yeah. We'll see what they're doing. Get your okay.
Right. Like they do with all these other... these other groups, you know what I'm saying? It's like the LGBT, or whatever, right? is like those, you know. At one point in time, you know, everybody was in agreement that, you know, homosexuality ain't necessarily right.
Right.
But now they got this whole power base, you know what I'm saying? And that they can counsel you or whatever, you know, it's like, you know, you're afraid to you know, it got us rethinking our pronouns now.
Yeah.
You say well, somebody a he because you know he looked.
Say it again?
Huh?
I just think telling the truth is telling the truth.
Yes, sir. But you know, now truth is like relative now. It's what you think is truth. You know, and you have to respect other people's truth.
Oh, alternative facts.
That's what it is. It's alternative facts. It's like what when they start talking about critical race theory and things like that, right? You know, just teaching, you know, facts. But now it's wrong, and take these texts out of schools. You know it can't be that.
Can't talk about slavery.
That's not how. Right. Don't mention slavery. Don't mention Jim Crow.
And see, even for me, even if you strip away all of that, you still got two things. You still got us here. And so the question has to be, how did we get here? But, you know, if you strip away all that, you know, and even in history books, you still got to keep asking that question. And there's still going to be others ask that question. Well, how did we get here?
Yeah, but you know what, bro? You know what? I've had some conversations with people who told me that it was no transatlantic slave trade.
Yeah, you had those conversations? How did yours go?
Wow, man. I got angry at it, you know what I'm saying? I got angry because, you know, I've been to Gory Island, you know what I'm saying? I've seen the dungeons, you know, what they said to me that, you know, show them a slave ship.
What? Say that again?
They say show them a slave ship.
There's one on display. I can't remember where. It's on the East Coast. I don't know if it's in Boston, but it's one on display over there. I know that it's one, maybe a couple others. But pretty much those boats didn't. A lot of them boats didn't survive. Almost no boats survived from that period.
I mean, what it was they recycle them. They could use that wood, brother.
Right.
So when they wasn't, and you know, the shipping industry, you know, evolved, then you know
right.
they got rid of those ships.
But here's another bigger question though. So they ask you to show them a slave ship. I mean, what would that really do?
I mean, that was the argument. You know, it's like the argument of Africans participating in the slave trade. And to me, I don't buy that. Because every country that I know or everybody who participated in the slave trade still have slave wealth. They have wealth of you know.
That's what I've been trying to explain to this one young brother, and he don't get it. You don't get it. He kept telling me, hey, look, why you should be mad with them people today? They had nothing to do with slavery. Yes, they benefited what their ancestors put in place. You can't tell me they ain't benefit from that. Come on. And then they brought any other more white people from Europe, they took care of them.
Yeah.
And these are black people going
in. These are black people. These are Africans.
Mm-hmm.
But they will hardly ever say that they're African, because we'd rather be Indian than African.
Oh man, I got issues with that group too.
Me too.
Man, I got a few issues with that group, man. And I'm not going to another social media star. I got too many accounts, but the one I frequent is Facebook. And the discussions I have on that with individuals, man, it is just mind-boggling about. It's pretty much, I mean, ain't no such thing as you Native American. You know, African is a whole other group of people, and you're not related to them. And the only thing I keep telling them, you know, despite all this stupid nonsense, they say, okay, well, let's produce a DNA test. And then they say things like, oh, it's not accurate, you know, why would you want to do that? And I said, hey, look, your ass would rely on that shit if you was on death row, goddammit, shit. Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I know, that's right. Get the DNA.
He's screaming right, that shit to right. Your lungs, man. No, that ain't my blood. Come on, no, check the DNA. Stupid motherfucker.
Yeah. And they come back straight up fucking Mandingo or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, my whole thing that if the DNA, if I take a DNA test and it comes back that I was it's some Cherokee DNA in my DNA. You know what that mean? That mean that the Cherokee owned some of my ancestors.
Oh, yeah, and I try to explain that to individuals. And they was active in the slave trade, you know, through the U.S. They weren't active as far as, you know, transporting them from the continent to here. But they got involved with it, too. They was buying and selling slaves, man. And people don't want to go in and accept
that's where scalping come from. Scalping comes from the Indians who were actually chasing runaway slaves.
Right.
And they were able to get some money. They were able to get some money by bringing the scalp or the ears back.
Right. Can't explain that to these, I'm a Native American. And people get so upset with me that they actually threaten me. So, you know, let me make this announcement real quick, brother. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host here, Chef Rob, and this is President Marua, UNIA chapter. It's 401, right?
Yes, sir, 401. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so giving our views. But I invited the brother here because I wanted to go ahead and have a conversation because I love listening to him. Cause, you know, he has some... interesting ideology and takes on life. So if you want to have a question or a comment, press 1 and I'll bring you in. So I see a couple of people that showed up. So, but yeah. Hey man, let me find it, man, because you got to remember this. I couldn't believe you didn't remember it, man. Not really.
What's that, brother?
Oh man, I'm just searching for it, man. Your views about us not knowing the game, pretty much.
Yeah. When you reminded me, you sound like something. You know, I mean, I totally agree with it. It sounds like something I probably would say. I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we have very little knowledge of the game that we play. We don't know, and we wonder why we lose it. You don't lose. I mean, you lose in the game because you don't know what game you playing, bro. You know, it's
hold
like
on.
You know somebody. Okay, go
hold
ahead.
Hold on, I got you right here. We'll be right back.
So that means, right, when we look and we see Philando Castillo getting killed, and we see the Trayvons, and we see the LaValle, we see all these things happening. And all we want to do, man, is cry and say, why they keep doing us like this? Why they doing that? It's just like a man who don't work. If a man don't work, he don't eat. And people don't have a problem with saying a man who ain't doing shit don't deserve to get nothing. See, we got to look at that as a racial thing. We got to go on to the big level, man. And we got to say, you know what, man? It's about us, man, doing what we need to do for us. And the only way we going to do what we need to do for us is to put us first, man. I'm first. My people first. Africans before anybody. That's it. You know, and that's where we got to go, man. You know, Dr. Clark talked about, man, how we accept everything back. You understand? But don't nobody accept us. They shouldn't be accepting us, though. You don't accept a beggar. You don't accept nobody who ain't got shit, who ain't doing nothing. You don't accept him. You know, they told me, man, on the street, when you see a fool bump his head. And they've been bumping our head, man, because we loving every fucking body else who don't give a goddamn about us. They don't give a damn about us, man.
Right.
You know, they can talk their shit and all this, but when it comes down between theirs and yours, guess who they gonna choose?
Exactly.
So if that's the name of the game, brother, you know, we've been playing the wrong. Look, it's a trip how you can be good at playing a game, but if you playing the wrong game on the wrong field, you gonna lose. So if I playing basketball and I run out there and tackle a motherfucker, I'm gonna lose.
Tell them that again.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So when it comes down to it, man, it's like we don't know the rules to the game we playing. You know what I'm saying? You can't tackle them on the court. You tackle somebody, you might give them a good ass hit. I'm talking about, man, he go up to the ball and you just flatten him. But that ain't the game.
The game is,
man, you got to play for your own team, man. And we ain't playing for ours, man. I was talking to some real conscious brothers, so I thought, right? And they was talking to me, man, they was saying, yeah, brother, you right. But then a white guy came up, right? You know, and he was a cool white guy. You know what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden, man, I get the fucking apologetic ass for a word where all white people ain't bad. What the hell is that to do with what I'm talking about?
Hold on. Oh, wait a minute. You hurt my stomach.
I'm just saying, bro, Rob.
What that got to do with what I'm talking about?
Come here. What that got to do with it? Now you automatically need some protection, and they don't need no protection. Let me tell you something, man. Don't no other race need no protection, bro.
Right.
None. The Arabs don't need no protection. They'll fight for their own. You understand?
Right.
Fuck with them Arabs enough if you want to, they're going to blow some shit up. Chinese don't need no protection. They'll fight for their own. The white man still don't need no protection. We'll bomb the shit out your ass. You understand?
Right.
Don't nobody need no protection but us. And all of a sudden, man, we can be getting our ass whooped and we decide we're going to go and protect another motherfucker. Something wrong with that. That's that
problem.
I tell
you, some kind of mental illness, man. It's training, bro.
It's hundreds and hundreds of years of training.
I think it's something hard, man. It's real difficult to go ahead and tie people away from that way of thinking, man. And it's crazy. And too many times I just put my head down and shake my head. But I say, okay, well, I ain't going to fuck with you no more. There's something wrong with your ass. You know, I don't want to deal with that bullshit.
Yeah, it's some, the thing about it is I was talking to some elders, right? We're talking about some real elders, right? We're talking about some black conscious, man, raised those elders. And what they told me, right, is that at first, man, it was done. That type of acting, right, was done because it was a protective factor. You understand? It was a protective factor. When you look at our people, right, you know, it's hard for black parents to actually give encouraging words to their children. As a matter of fact, I remember being at my kid's school, and I was looking at this other kid, right? And the other kid was real good at what they was doing. They were actually in doing an assembly, and the other kids, man, spoke real well and this and that. Well, I looked over at their mama, right? And I told their mama, I said, oh, wow, your son is great. I said, your son, man, he got a real good control of his words. I said, boy, that's a great one, right? And you can see the pride in the mama's face, right? But the mama, right, didn't know if he was doing it. If he wasn't doing it on purpose, what she told me was, yeah, he all right, but you should see him at home. Now, when you, I don't care how bad little Billy is. Little Billy can be a fucking terror. But when you compliment that white child to that white parent, that white child is not going to say nothing negative about that. That white parent is not going to say nothing negative about their own child. Now, the thing about it is the protective factor of black people is that we were taught and beaten and trained, right, that if you give our children too much positive attention, something bad going to happen. So even today, right, when we say these things, right, we don't know how to give positive accolades and positive push-ups to our own, right? What ends up happening is that we just doing it and we don't know why we're doing it. I'm talking about this is hundreds of years of training. This shit just didn't happen. So what we're doing, man, is that we have to fucking demonstrate how you got to do it. That's why I call black brothers teams and I call the sisters queens. That's why I call them brothers. That's why I call them God. Because the thing about it is that you have to actually start reprogramming and retraining our people.
Bro, that was cold, bro. That was that message right there is. I mean, that's cold, bro. Yes, sir. I agree with everything. Wait a minute, man. That was you.
Yes, that came from you.
Oh, that came from me?
That was you.
Yeah, well, you know I agree with it. I agree with that. I agree with everything you said. I mean, everything I said on that message, that I said it. Now, I said it. You know, that training, bro, you know. My father was the one who told me the difference between educated and trained, bro.
Right.
I never forget when I first got my degree, you know, higher learning degree. And my father say, oh, you been trained real good. I was like, yeah, I guess so. He said, go get that degree. I mean, go get it, right, the diploma. And I brought it out and it said, and it said, it didn't say that I was educated, bro. It said that I passed a course of training. We have been trained.
Right.
That's a trip. We are trained to act the way and to behave the way in which we behave. We train, man. Shit. It ain't like we just, you know, we didn't come up with this, you know. Education. If you are educated, you know, our real education comes from our families and our community. That's where our education begins, and that's where it starts at, you know. And then we go to other people. We go to our enemy to be trained. The same enemy that conquered us, bro, we go to them to be trained. And they real good at training us, bro. We have been trained well. If my dog was trained as well as we have been trained, oh, man, I wouldn't have to come on sometime and clean up because he done chewed up stuff. And, you know, I wouldn't have to mop the floor 50 million times because, you know, he been in the house all day without me being there. And, you know, he ain't wait till I came to use the bathroom. You know, he ain't trained well.
But
if he was trained well.
Cottage Wilson wrote about that. He also wrote about that. He said, we know our place. We know not to come to the front door, but we know to automatically go to the back door.
And if it ain't a back door, then we will make one. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Miseducation of a Negro, of the Negro. The training. I think a more accurate title would have been the training of the Negro. We've been trained. You know, if I'm walking down the street and three brothers walking, walking my way, you know, I get all nervous. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm you know, my whole demeanor changes. You know, because I've been trained to not trust black men. I've been trained, bro. You know,
and that's the thing
is, when you know you train, you know, and you know that training is not good, then you have to, you know, be aware of it and know actually how to behave, you know, act different, demonstrate something different. You got to show it.
Show it how?
You ever show it? I mean, you know, you got to show it, bro. You know, I mean, I see some brothers and they look like, you know, they look like brothers, you know, and I don't know them. You know, I have to show it. I have to show that, you know what, I'm not threatened by you, brother. You know, hey, brother, what's happening, man? How y'all doing? You know, I speak, you know, I show respect. I show honor. You know what I'm saying? At one point in time in our lives, you know, I mean, in our history, we, you know, to see a black person, you know, you would say things like, I see you, bro. I see you, you know. And then we got to the point where it became, you know, what you looking at? Don't look at me. Why you looking at me? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that right there goes against everything, our heritage, you know what I'm saying, our culture. We know to be seen and be recognized, you know, that is good. I don't see color. Come on, get the fuck out of here. That's just,
yeah, that was, you know, funny to me. I didn't understand that. I still don't understand that.
I mean, see, I hope you see color. Because I see it.
I don't understand that. I see it.
That's one of the first things I see. I see what uniform you wear. What uniform you got on. You know, we wearing the same uniform, bro. I see you. Means that, you know, I got your back. I see you, bro. You know, that's real important, man. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I think we need to start incorporating that into our language. We need to start saying, I see you, bro. I see you, bro. We need to start saying that. I see you. I see you, man. You ever been like, you know, real sharp and somebody said, I see you, bro. That's nice, Jack. I like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, it just give you, you know, you feel like you're a few inches taller. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I know these shoes look good. I knew these. I like them shoes, bro. Man, I like that outfit you got on. I mean, when somebody tell you that, you feel better.
Right. Compliments.
You know, not only do you, right. I mean, they see you. They acknowledge you, bro.
The acknowledgement is always there.
Yeah, I see you, bro. You know, it's nothing like it, bro. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's, you know, why you think sisters get their hair done and their nails done? A lot of times we think that they get it done because of us, but they get it done because of the acknowledgement that they get from others. You know, oh, girl, who did your nails? Who did? Oh, I like your hair. I mean, right there, that brings a whole lot.
I want you to tell me a little bit more about, you guys still have the classes going?
What class?
No. Ray, I think Ray was doing some classes, had been talking about some classes. Just to educate.
No, the only thing that we got, I mean, we got study groups going, we do study groups on the first Friday of each month.
That's what
it's coming up. It's a study group coming up. And that basically consists of us, you know, reading some of the lessons of our ancestors and discussing it, you know, and having an open discussion about the lesson. So we would actually know, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, I'm a Garveyite, you know, but you don't know anything about what Marcus Garvey said and what he stood for and what he believed, you know, because, you know, a lot of times then you actually perpetrating a fraud to me, you know, it's about, you know, coming from the streets of Chicago, it's about, you know, kind of knowing your literature. You know, I mean, do you know your literature? Do you know, do you know the lessons? So we have those on the first Friday of each month. It's stuff going on. We have stuff going on in the city of Chicago where you can tune in and you can get, you know, a more in-depth understanding as far as what the UNIA is and you know, what Marcus Garvey taught, you know, us, you know, we have those things, you know. It's a trip how many people, you know, say Marcus Garvey but don't know UNIA. Marcus Garvey was the man, UNIA was his work. And if it wasn't for the UNIA, it probably wouldn't be a lot of things that we call in the woke community or whatever, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be much black nationalism out here, if any at all. Because all great black nationalists who basically, you know, to simplify it, you know, to teach black love and black unity, you know, black pride, you know, trace it back to Marcus Garvey. I mean, everybody does. I mean, because he was the first. He was the granddaddy.
Yeah, that's a lot to think about. And a lot of his disciples.
His disciples, his cubs. We, you know, because Garvey told them when they was prosecuting him on that bogus-ass case, but they charged him for an empty-ass envelope, you know what I'm saying? Say that he was stealing money, the prosecutor say, are you going to let the tiger go? You know, Marcus Garvey defended himself in federal court. Right. And Garvey stood up and he say, you might lock up the tiger, but what about his cubs? My cubs are still roaming. And there's plenty of cubs that came after Garvey, right?
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down, you know, cub, you know, Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, you know, Noble Drew Ali, you know, Morris Science Temple of America, you know, the Black Panther Party, you know, Carlos Cook, you know, Malcolm X. You know, you talking about these are cubs. These are Garvey cubs, bro. Even Martin Luther King.
Right.
Give his honor and respect to Marcus Garvey.
Oh. I just want to say it's a damn shame how a lot of them were treated. You know, and I got another speech, and I'll play that another day, from Marcus Garvey, and he keeps mentioning E.B. Du Bois and some of the stuff that he's doing.
Oh, yeah. W.B. Du Bois, I mean, his name is spoken a lot, you know, but W.B. Du Bois was, you know, majority of his life, he was a traitor to his race.
Right.
You know, he got with the white folks in the Niagara Movement that started the NAACP, and his whole life, you know, was because he was jealous of Marcus Garvey, and the connection and how the people love them.
We got a whole lot of them kind of people even today. You look at all these.
Oh man, we got so many of
so-called black leaders, man.
Yeah, and they traitorous. I mean, some of their actions is straight traitorous, bro. I mean, you know. I mean, so like we speak in unity a lot, bro. We speak in unity a lot. You know, unity, if black people can come together, then that would be great. But, you know, it's some Negroes I don't want to be unified with. I mean, it's not the statement of the year, you know. But it's some Negroes I don't want to be unified with. No, I don't. You know, and some Negroes that, you know, it's like, no, you go over there. Go with them people.
Go way over there.
My thing, yeah, go with them people, you know. And then we'll see if you wake up before you die, like W.B. Du Bois. Because he talked about Marcus Garvey, you know, talking about Africa, you know. Garvey told us, he said that, you know, black people will not be free until Africa is free. He said that. W.E.B. Du Bois went against that. But W.E.B. Du Bois was one of the ones who worked real hard in the Pan-African Congress, Pan-Africanism, you know, and he died in Ghana.
Right, right.
You know, he died in Ghana. Really?
Yeah. He had changed his tune.
Yeah, he changed. Because he realized that he was talking nonsense all the time.
Damn shame. Like your life was wasted. Fought with yourself. Kind of ridiculous.
I mean, you know. So many of our people want to be anything but African, bro. I mean, I done met Africans who didn't really want to be African. They tell me their ethnic group they from.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, come on, man. Or they tell me their nationality that was created by a white man.
Right. You know what? Let me play something. I want you to comment on this, man. I think you're gonna find this hilarious.
Okay.
To the extent that black relationships have survived as they have, what say you about that? 400 years later.
It is amazing that black relationships have lasted for 400 years. They lasted this morning. They're also going to last tonight, and you may not even know the person to whom you're gonna have the relationship with. But they do tend to go over. Relationships do go over like that. And as we move into what has happened to this, I know that our relationships sometimes really reach a low ebb. That's one of the reasons why we wrote the book, How to Find and Keep a BMW, a Black Man Working, that was spelled out in there. This is very serious. Because relationships, our relationships didn't start yesterday or last week. It also started 400 years ago when those 19 persons were here. And I want you to remember something very important that one of our by any means necessary power brokers told us, and that was Malcolm X. He said, if we can only remember that you didn't land at Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on you. And it's very essential that we kind of keep this in place. And knowing that these are the things that happen, then we have to move more to change it. See, we have a system that would not like to see black males and black females together. They would not like to see that happening at all. Because once we come together, they understand the power of the strength of the black woman, the queen of the universe. They know that, her strength. They also know the power of the black male, the warrior. If you would turn him loose, he will protect also his family and things that need to be done. And because they understand that if our relationships are together, then they will lose. But if our relationships are torn up, then we can forever be treated in certain ways by the oppressors. That's why they gave us something called integration, which is nothing but the illusion of inclusion. They gave us this. They actually gave that statement. And when they gave that statement, it meant that they could go right into your homes. They went into the black homes now, the powers that be, and told us that you cannot discipline your children anymore. And if you discipline your children, you were going to jail. It's this kind of thing they told us. Now, this is amazing that, you know, the black parents who in Africa, that was out of the question. Some social worker come in there saying you can't discipline your children, the social worker would disappear. As you all know, this kind of thing would go on. You would be sitting in a place like this, and all you had to do was act up and do something wrong, and all your mother had to do was to glance in your direction. Y'all remember that? And you remember that the glance meant, don't let me have to get up and come over there. And every once in a while in the black family, there was a fool who would challenge the glance. And if you could get home over the foot, over the ironing cart, over whatever, you were sent to the backyard to get something off the peach tree. And if you brought something in that was too short, God forbid that you would do something like that. But then it got so terrible in frightening us. This is why we got to take this back. And this is the best part of our action plan, is to reclaim the minds of our children. Because then they went into the public schools and took discipline out of there. So when we acted up in there, they put our boys, our black men, into something called special ed classes. Those special ed classes are nothing but holding cells until they can go to the state prison. But this is what they did. And then, the one thing that they knew, that if we can put them in prison, if we can have them convicted for a felony, then once they get out of prison, they cannot get a job because of that. They cannot get the job. And then if they happen to eke out and find a job, then they have to pay taxes on a job, yet they cannot vote. And I call that... I call that taxation without representation. That's what we're looking at. And if one of the things that we would learn to do, they did a grand thing when they took that discipline away from us, because when they made our parents afraid to discipline the children, then what happened? We found out that the teachers were afraid of the principals were scared of the superintendent was scared of the school board was scared of the parents were scared of the children, and the children ain't scared of nobody. The reason why we're so pleased to have the covenant, it makes all of this type foolishness stop. It's going on under Angela Glover in San Francisco. It's all over the country, and they're all saying we finally have a movement where we can take back over the minds of our children. And the first thing we got to take over, the covenant taught us that we do not have to have black leaders anymore. It told us because everyone in this room is empowered to be a black leader. The one in this room. Because see, right now, these people that you're calling black leaders are not what they used to be with Marcus Garvey's day. They're not what they used to be back in the days of W.E.B. Du Bois or Martin Luther King. Those were the people that got us together and planted a strategy, and we're not looking for fame. But today's black leaders, I'm afraid, have become leading blacks. And don't ever confuse leading blacks with black leaders. You don't do that. One of the reasons you don't confuse them, black leaders are chosen by you. They're chosen by the people they're going to lead. They're chosen by us. But let me tell you about the leading black. The leading blacks are chosen by the media. Leading blacks are chosen by ABC, all broadcasting Caucasians.
Should I stop her or let her go?
Leading blacks are also chosen by NBC. Nothing broadcasting but Caucasian. And the rest are chosen by CBS, the Caucasian broadcasting system. And when you allow leaders to be chosen by the media that's owned by the corporations, when you get ready to change your lives, when you get ready to demonstrate, when you get ready to march, when you get ready to come to the covenant, when you get ready to endorse and make a Tavis one of our next elected officials, well, what happens? Then you must take the time to carefully watch and see what the leading blacks are doing. Because that's when the leading blacks sneak into the door to the corporations, and they will tell the corporations, oh, we know how to go and put them down. We know how to get you some real affirmative action Negroes to come in here and work. We know how to do that. But at the end of the day, the leading blacks lead the corporations, and the leading blacks have gotten paid while we have gotten played.
Oh, man, I love that sister. That sister is always on point. Yeah, that sister, I mean, everything she said, I totally agree with. I mean, she said it, you know. You know, it's nothing strong in this world, in this universe, is black love, bro. You know, when it comes down to it, the relationships that we have, with everything that has been put against us, you know, we still making black babies. We still having black relationships. It's still black male-female relationships going on here. You know, it's a lot of things going on that has been thrown against us. She touched on quite a bit, but, you know, it's a whole lot. But it's nothing more stronger than black love. I mean, black love would be black hate any day. You know, I love what that sister said. You know, it's the difference between between being a black leader and a leading black. You know, I mean, it is. You know,
yeah.
And she said leading blacks are decided by and made and created by, you know, by our oppressors. You know, by our conquerors, bro. You know, it comes down to. I don't take nothing that our enemy says. I mean, our enemy can't tell me nothing. You know, anything that he says to me is like, you know, it's suspect. You know, a man won't treat you right, he sure ain't gonna tell you right, bro. I mean, and that's how I look at it. I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, if it's a white man telling me something and it's best for, you know, it's best for him and it's best for his society, then I really don't want to have nothing to do with it. I mean, I can't help it. I'm prejudiced like that.
No. No, man. No, not you, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't help it, bro. I'm prejudiced like that.
What is this world coming to? What the? Yeah, that leading black thing that's stuck in my mind. Jesse can't move around that much no more. But what? I don't see his surrogate. Who's representing him?
I don't know. It'd be somebody though. I mean, I have my opinions on some. You know, the thing is, social media has changed it a little bit. You know. You know, social media, you know, people wake up one morning and you know, all of a sudden, you know, they could be the star of their own show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, popularity.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I see a lot of people going here and making all these pictures and videos and, and personal shit.
I mean, it's crazy, man. You know, I mean, just go live with it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we go live and, you know, it has actually affected our you know, it's all about a meme. It's all about a post now. You know what I'm saying? Or we can go live, you know, and, you know, that's one of the things, you know, with that propaganda piece that has played a part in a lot of our, you know, our interracial violence in our community. You know, I remember when I was coming up, you say something crazy to somebody, you had to say it to them. Now you can get on social media and you can put a post out and say all type of crazy stuff, not realizing that, you know, you going outside, you're going to go to the store, you're going to go somewhere, and, you know, you done made somebody angry, and, you know, now they see you, and, you know, and we having a lot of that's going on now.
Right. Yeah, that's why I'm putting up pictures of myself now. I don't do all that.
Mm-mm.
Make my comments. I ain't putting up pictures of myself. People took
right.
too much of their personal stuff, and then they put too much of their personal stuff out there. Then they make stupid comments, and you know you should see it coming. But when
yep.
you do what you ain't gonna see it coming. So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Down on all the bullshit. So, but I also see it. Facebook also has a way of going ahead and creating popularity for a lot of shit, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a science to it, you know. It's a science to it. But, you know, if we were to go back into behaving the way in which we, you know, once were taught to behave, then, you know, we can avoid that. You know, I was taught, you know, you never should wash your dirty laundry in public.
Right, right, right. Okay, brother, you know what? You know, it's been good having you, brother. It's always a great, great conversation with you. We're going to have to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I know you got to go ahead and take care of some stuff. It's getting kind of late for you. So, But anyway, brother,
yeah.
Thanks for coming through. It's great conversation. I need to get and talk to you about some other stuff later on. Okay?
Okay, my brother. I really appreciate the opportunity to chop it up with you, brother. I mean, I love talking about, you know, some of the things that we're talking about. We need to have these discussions so that we can actually, you know, benefit our people. And, you know, I really love and I appreciate you, brother, you know, for being, you know, a strong, strong African. You know, we need more brothers like you, you know, doing and making sure that they do what is best, you know, instead of waiting for someone else to do it. You know, a lot of us have got into this this habit of you know, trying to see what someone else to do. You know, we got a straight pedestrian type of outlook on life, you know. Well, let me see, you know, I'm not going to say nothing. Let me see if somebody else say something. You know, someone else has to say. So it's good to be with a trendsetter, bro. You know, Chef Rob, you are a trendsetter, you know, and I'm glad to be on your team, you know. So, you know, with that, you know,
I'm on your team, Mr. President. So I'm on your team.
Well, it's good that we together then, you know. You know, we're on a race first team. So, you know, that's great. That's great, bro. So, I'm a call. It's been a long day for me. I'm tired and you know, it's time.
Go ahead. Do what you gotta do, brother. We'll talk. Get you some rest.
Okay, brother. Race first. Yes, sir, brother.
Race first, brother. Peace.
Race first. Peace.
Yeah, that was President of Chapter 401, UNIA in Chicago. I always love his views. I just let him go. Makes a lot of sense.
On ya, human them say them not on ya. How you mean? Evil, we don't on ya. Then why we be stay up, below the rest? And as the days go by, them below the chest. Them create violence, I want clean up the mess. Because I'm clear with clean arguments. Hey, they keep pressuring the innocent.
To talk to when you're all alone. All you
Hello, Brother Bianchi. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show.
Hey, man, how did you know this was me?
You haven't changed your number.
Hey, what I want to ask is the veteran home that, what was the lady named Anita? I think she passed away, didn't she?
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
You remember the veteran home that the lady put all her money in?
Oh, Anita.
For feeding.
Yeah, Anita, yeah. She passed some time ago.
So what's the status of the home?
I think it's changed hands. Because it looked different the last time I saw it.
Yes, I contribute to that house, to that operation.
Yeah.
I read
a
story.
I seen the brother at the VA hospital one day, and he wasn't real talkative that day.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering, what else going on up there?
It's still the same.
Yeah. All right. You ever get your? You was trying to get a restaurant going, weren't you?
Yeah. I'm still in the process of doing that, but I bounced around a lot, man. So. Having fun in other places, so.
Yeah. Well, if that's what your aspiration is, you got to hang in there and keep at it.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah,
anything
yeah.
else. Well, look, I'm going to let you get back to your show. I just seen you. I didn't know you had a show, but.
Yeah, I've been slowly doing it. I'll be here for a little while.
All right, well, that sounds good. All right, well, you go ahead, man, and good luck to you, and I'll talk to you sometime.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Oh, you're an African.
You're asking me a question.
Do your bloodline go all the way back to Africa, brother? Are you an African?
Brother, if you read me.
Are you an African?
You're asking me a question.
Do your bloodline go all the way back to Africa, brother? Are you an African?
Brother, if you read me.
Are you an African?
You're asking me a question.
Do your bloodline go all the way back to Africa, brother? Are you an African?
Brother, if you read me.
Are you an African?
You're asking me a question.
Do your bloodline go all the way back to Africa, brother?
Here comes the boom. Here comes the boom, booming, bouncing, stalking, what's walking, hawking to pouncing, getting them every counter, hit them like a mountain, let them have a spitting up, blood like a fountain, look at me like that, we just might fight black, and that fight might end up in me taking your life, I don't go for the bullshit, cause I've been down, and time is just too important to be fucking around, huh, nigga, I'll stop a mud hole in your face, motherfucker, rip your butthole out of place, cock the Glock to your head, let off about two in it, yeah, it's a dirty job, but I just love doing it, here comes the boom. Here comes the boom.
I'll gangsta you, me while you hold your gun tight. No get up here, you pussy, cause I'm pussy. Not dry, make them skin fry. My robot be fly, blush it up in a disc, bye. Gangsta you, me while.
It's all because of you. I'm never sad and blue. You came my way. Now my life is a life of sunny days.
Me love your sex mode. I be loving when we get too hard. That's why I'm. to wish you were lying here. I tend to dream you when I'm not sleeping. Is it my turn to fictionize my world, or even imagine your emotions and tell myself anything?
Get your coat and your face. If you're a little girl, when you make it walk and give it the same thing. No protection, skin to skin thing. Breathe every minute. What's
this girl thinking?
She wants a life.
Drama, man. Even of them, several of them, several of them. They know they lost the rama, no run to cling the llama. Don't see it on your face, you lost the love of rama drama. The youngest youth is rama, no know they lost the llama. Don't give them a dark coming. Don't give them a dark coming.
I'm in search of a girl to fit me top feeling.